Hallelujah. Well, y'all ready? It's weird down here on the floor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll give the ushers just a moment to finish. Like I was saying, I've been here for 16 years and never ministered a word on Wednesday night. I'm usually with the teenagers ministering out there. Hallelujah. And so we used to tell the teenagers, I just thinking of this, why the ushers are doing that, you know, got a little sweaty up there jumping around and dancing. I used to tell them, I'm going to come around and sniff your armpits to see if you're praising God or not. That's the official test. Hallelujah. And so I never had to do that, glory. And so they just took my word for it. And so tonight I want to talk to you about being equipped to fight. You know, as believers, sometimes we think things are just going to happen. We think, you know, because God's in control and God is all-powerful and he's magnificent and he's wonderful and he's good all the time. Can I get a witness? We just think that things are going to happen because we are his beloved. And like Mary was saying, Miss Mary, you know, the windows of heaven are open upon us and a blessing is being poured out upon you. But in order for that scripture to happen, you must do something. And so God has given you a lot of promises. The word of God says that all the promises are what now? Yes, amen. All the promises are yes and amen. Where at? In Christ Jesus. But you know, in order for the believer to see those promises, we must contend for those promises. We must stand for those promises. We must fight for those promises. Hallelujah. In order to see, and we will see his faithfulness in the land of the living. And the reason why we're going to see it is because we're going to run after it. Amen. You remember what God told David when he was all depressed and they were out at war. They came back. Everything was destroyed and taken. The houses were burned. The women and children were taken. And God, David sought God. And what did God say? Go pursue and recover all. Amen. Notice God didn't just say, sit here and I'm going to bring everything to you. No, he told him, David, if you're going to receive everything back, you've got to do something. You've got to fight. So part one, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to convince you that you need to fight. You know, and as I was, you know, praying about this yesterday and thinking about it, I don't know if anybody in here knows who the Beastie Boys are, but that song just kept going on in my head. You got to fight for your right. Hallelujah. And the latter part says to party. But we've got to fight for our right to receive the promise. You see what I did right there? Hallelujah. You know, and I love what she said because it's connected. You have the right to a sound mind. Jesus died to give you rights and privileges as the children of the Most High God. You have a right to a healed and whole body. You have a right to prosperity. Come on now. You have a right to peace. He said, I leave with you my peace. You have a right to these things that Jesus died. But guess what? You've got to fight for your right, hallelujah, to receive the promises. And whether you know it or not, you've been equipped for this. Amen. Over in 1 Timothy 6:11-12, out of the Barren Bible, it says this, but you, O man of God, I got any men or women of God in this room tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I say this unto you, O man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, and love. Now, I'm going to steal a phrase from my dad. Hallelujah. I got 10 pounds of potatoes and I'm trying to fit them in a 5-pound bag tonight. Glory to God. So we're going to go fast. That's what that means. Amen. And so we got a lot to get to. So if I'm reading too fast, go back and listen to it on the web and you can pause it. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, I read this scripture and I love what he said right there. He said, fight the good fight. You want to know why it's a good fight? Because you win. It's a good, if you're willing to fight, you will win every single time. You've been promised victory. Isn't that what he said? You're more than overcomers. Amen. You have been promised victory. Victory has been delivered unto you through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He took that blood and put it on the mercy seat so you could walk in victory. So you could win this good fight. But in order for you to win, you've got to fight. Amen. And so he said, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life, that which you were called to when you made the good confession before many witnesses. Listen to me now. On Sunday night, the church was given a prophetic word through our pastors. Jubilee. And then he even said, double jubilee. What does that mean? When they used to cry out Jubilee, everything that had been taken from them, everything that had been stolen from them, everything that they had to pay out, it was returned unto them. Everything was returned in the year of Jubilee. So God said through your pastors and the prophetic utterance that it's the year of Jubilee. So everything the devil has stolen from you and your family, everything you've paid out, everything you've suffered, everything you've gone through, God said, it's coming back because it's the year of Jubilee, and then double. Woo! Jesus, glory to God. Come on now. Jubilee. Hallelujah. And double Jubilee. I believe everything the devil has tried to steal or has stolen is coming back to you this year if you'll fight for it. Amen. But listen, believers, you can't just get comfortable and sit there. You've got to go out and get it. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. Over in John 10:10, we all know the scripture out of the NIV. It says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and to give it to the full. Listen, he comes to steal. But this is your year. It's been spoken. And you're going to war good warfare with that word that has been spoken. Amen. And so listen, why are we talking about this? Because when he comes to steal, because that's his job, his mission, to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now notice what he said first. And I believe that this is put in order by John. He said he comes to steal. So before he can kill and destroy, he has to steal something from you. And what's the devil always trying to steal? The word. Because if he can steal the word from you, then he can begin to do the other two parts of his three-part plan. I've come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hallelujah. Over in Mark 4:15, he said, some people are like the seed along the pathway where the word is sown. Now listen to me. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown unto them. Remember over there in Genesis 3? The Bible says that the devil came and he was the shrewdest of all the creatures that the Lord had made, and he slithered his way into that garden, and immediately what he come to do, he challenged the word of God, and he went to Eve and he said, did God say? See, he came to steal the word away from them. Notice this, and this is so awesome. I was reading this a couple weeks ago and God dropped it inside my heart. Adam and Eve never experienced good and evil until they got away from the word. They only knew good. And that's the way God wants it. He only wants you to know good. He only wants you to know prosperity. He only wants you to know health. He only wants you to know well-being. He only wants you to know soundness of mind. He only wants you to know peace. He wants you to know good. And that's what Eve said. God said, we cannot eat of the tree of the good and evil, lest we know good and evil. And the devil came in and he stole that word away from her and got her thinking about it. And then he was able to fulfill the other two parts. He stole from them. And then he came in and he killed and he destroyed. But we've been given the plan of redemption. And so guess what? You've got to fight. I just keep hearing that song in my head. Hallelujah. You've got to fight for your right to receive the promise. Amen. You've got to fight. Everyone say fight. Say, I've got to fight for my right to receive the promise. 1 John 3:8, our New Living Translation, and we look at this in Bible Institute when we in Christ Realities, it says, but when the people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, when we see that, lots of times we think, well, God, he destroyed the works of the devil, man. I've got nothing to worry about. Listen, that word right there, destroyed in the Greek, means luo. And when you look up that definition, this is what it means. It means I loose, I untie, or I release. You have been, the works of the devil are still here in this fallen world in which we live. You could look all around and you can see the works of the devil. Come on now, you can see them sometimes in your community. You can see them sometimes in school. You can see them in the world as a whole. You can see the works of the devil in this fallen world are still there. But when Jesus saying, I've come to destroy the works of the devil, what he was saying is, I've released you. I've untied you from the works of the devil. What does that mean? Now you're free. Free for what? Free to receive all that God has given unto you. The further definition, it means this, to unleash, to let go, to release, to unbind. So something no longer holds together. I love this. Figuratively speaking, release what has been held back. Like Christ releasing the seven seals to the churches. So I love looking at it this way. One way to look at it is all those promises were held back for me when I was in sin, but then he destroyed the work of sin over me, and I've now been released into the promises of God. Amen. I've been released into sound mind. I've been released into prosperity. I will prosper even as my soul prospers. I've been released into peace. I've been released. Come on now. Amen. I've been released into joy. I've been released. Every promise that is given, I've been released into it. But in order for me to see it, in order for me to receive it, I've got to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Amen. And we're going to look at some different ways to do that. Number one, we've got to seek the Lord. How do we receive the promises of God? We've got to seek the Lord. Now listen, church, hallelujah. We've got to seek in 2018 like we've never sought God before. And I'm not talking about, you know, what I've been guilty of before, reading my Bible when, and you know, lots of times I don't read my actual book anymore. We've got iPads and iPhones and that other company, what is it, Samsung? We've got all these phones, hallelujah, glory to God, not throwing any shade that anyone has one, amen. But anybody else ever been in bed, hallelujah, and you're reading the scriptures, and then 10 minutes later you're woken up by a cell phone that just fell on your face? Hallelujah, you're like, whap! Oh, that's not really reading the scriptures. Right? That's falling asleep to the scriptures. Amen. We need to get in to God like we've never gotten into God before. If I want to see something in God that I've never seen in God before, I have to push like I've never pushed before. I've got to do something. You know what insanity is, right? You've heard this definition over and over and over again, doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. And so we hear these promises, and we do the same thing over and over and over, and we never see them. Well, guess what? We've got to do something different. We've got to push like we've never pushed before. We've got to study like we've never studied before. We've got to pray like we've never prayed before. In short, we've got to seek him like we've never sought him before. Everyone say, I seek him. Psalm 63, 1 through 3. It says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. Now listen to me. As I was praying, the Lord told me there's going to be times this year where you're going to feel like you're out there in the wilderness. There's going to be times where it feels like you don't understand what's going on. You don't see a way out of it. But if you will earnestly seek God, just like the patriarchs of old did, just like the people in the old covenant, the new covenant, just like they did in the word of God. You see, whenever they faced adversity, whenever they faced temptation, whenever they faced the devil, what did they do? They sought the Lord, and he always gave them a plan and a way out. Hallelujah. Listen, God always has a way out. But in order to know that way, you've got to seek him. And that's what we're known for here at this church, right? To know him so we can make him known. If you don't seek God, you don't know God. Hallelujah. And so we've got to begin seeking him. Amen. It says, thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. See, you've got to fight the good fight of faith, and you've been equipped to do this. You've got something inside of you that is pushing you to seek more of God. Just respond to it. You've got a hunger. I believe this with all of my heart, that God has birthed a hunger in you because he's put it on the inside of every single human being on the planet. He's put this desire to know him. All you have to do is respond to it. You're equipped to fight the good fight of faith. And part of your equipment is getting to know God. Part of your equipment is seeking him and his way of doing things. Amen. Psalms 27, 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Amen. What is he saying here? The psalmist is saying, I'm going to seek God. I'm going to meditate his word. I'm going to meditate his thoughts. I'm going to meditate his love. All the things concerning me from the word of God, I'm going to meditate on those day and night. Just like God told Joshua, right? You meditate on this day and night and day and night. And then your way will be successful. Right? Well, what is meditation? It's seeking something. Hallelujah. And so when we seek after God, we begin to see the promises of God flow to us like they've never flown to us before. Just what Ms. Mary was talking about. When you give of your tithes and your offering, that is you seeking God with your resources. And what does that do? That pulls the blessing to you. Amen. But in order for it to happen, you've got to fight the good fight of faith, because your mind will tell you, don't give your tithes and your offering. Y'all going to sit out there and act like I'm the only one that's ever thought that before? Hallelujah. Why are you giving this to the Lord? Why are you doing that? Well, listen, I'm doing it because I'm pursuing God. Amen. And I'm going to pursue him with my first fruits, hallelujah, and anything else that he may ask of me. Why? Because I love him. Amen. And because I want to see his promises in the land of the living. So I'm going to pursue and I'm going to seek, hallelujah, and I'm equipped to do this. Amen. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 4:29, now the NIV, it says this. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So now he begins to tell us how to seek. Not at 10 o'clock at night when I'm trying to fall asleep and I'm reading my phone, laying in my bed. Hallelujah. That's not with all of my heart. That's being very lazy in my seeking. Amen. And my dad once said this, and it stuck with me. You always make time for the things that are important to you. Amen. So I encourage you, as we start 2018, just take some inventory and you can find out if you're seeking God the way that you're supposed to. Amen. See, this word's going to challenge us tonight, isn't it? Hallelujah, because we're stepping up, glory to God. We've gone through a door. Now God has taken us to a higher place, and he's going to continue to take us to a higher place. But in order for you to go to a higher place, you got to continue to give more. Glory. Amen. And as we do, we'll go higher and higher in the things of God. Matthew 6:33, it says, seek God first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I truly believe in 2018, God wants to add some things to you. He wants to add resources to you. He wants to add relationships to you, maybe with an estranged spouse. He wants to add relationships to you, maybe with your children. He wants to add to you. He wants to add to your business. He wants to add to your family. He wants to add to your peace. He wants to add to your soundness of mind. He wants to add to your health. He wants prosperity is just not financial. It's all of your well-being. And your God wants to add to all of your well-being in 2018. And in order for that to happen, you're going to have to seek. Someone say, I seek the Lord. And it's so cool when you seek him first, then he begins to add all these things to us. I tell the teenagers all this all the time. I didn't find every good thing in my life by seeking those things. I found all those good things in my life by seeking God. You know, God moved me from Colorado to Oklahoma, and then from Oklahoma to Alabama. I didn't even know what Alabama was. I was going somewhere foreign. Hallelujah. Our school education up in Colorado wasn't the finest. Hallelujah. I'll be the first to admit that. We can hunt and swim. And if you could do that, you graduated. Praise the Lord. Amen. I qualified. Geographically speaking, I didn't know where Alabama was. Hallelujah. They're like, you going to Alabama? Yeah. Where's that? I don't know. Hallelujah. I'm going to find out. But listen, I was seeking God, and God led me from Colorado to Oklahoma, then from Oklahoma to Alabama. When I got to Alabama, I found my job, my ministry, my pastor, my wife, my children, my friends, everything, my church family, simply by seeking him first. And then look at all the good things he's added to me. Not by one time was I seeking those things, but seeking God all the while. And then boom, he adds this, he adds that, he adds this. And guess what? Everything God adds to you is always good. I got the best wife. Hallelujah. I got the best. To all the husbands right there, you should be like, no, I gave you an opportunity for you to earn points and you missed it. I'll try again. I got the best wife. Oh yeah. Okay. So JC earned some points, even though I told him to. Hallelujah. I got the best children. I got the best job. I mean, listen, God is good. He's good. Amen. And God has a way of adding things to you when you seek him. Amen. But listen, sometimes in seeking him, it's a fight. You got to fight that fight of faith. Hallelujah. You know how many times you sit down at the dinner table and you don't want to read your Bible? Hallelujah. You know how many times you'd rather watch the football game instead of turn the TV off and pray? Come on now. How many times you want to, when you're driving in traffic and you want to listen to talk radio so you can get your blood boiling, hallelujah, just red hot. You know, how many times we would much rather listen to, I know you have this struggle because I have this struggle and we're kind of the same. Hallelujah. How many times we just want to turn on the radio and listen to music instead of talk to God. Right? And it's so easy to put these things before God. I heard one minister say it this way. Listen, sports are a good thing. Music is a good thing. Houses are a good thing. Family is a good thing, but they're terrible gods. There's only one good God. Amen. And so we need to begin to seek Him first. And when we seek Him first, He'll bring all these good things into our lives. Amen. And maybe someone in the room is saying, you know what? I already got all these good things. Guess what? Increase. Because it's double jubilee. Hallelujah. It's double jubilee. So if you got good things, get ready for it to get compounded and more good things to come your way. Amen. Everyone say, I'm equipped to fight. Woo, I love this scripture. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18 out of the Message Bible. It says, whenever though they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil and there they are face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old, constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We are all free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. What is he saying? There's nothing that can stop you from seeking after God. Hallelujah. Nothing that separates us or nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become more like Him. What's He doing? He's explaining to you what happens when you seek God. Amen. And he's reaching back to the Old Testament where Moses went up on the mountain. Why did Moses go up onto the mountain? He went up on the mountain to seek God. And isn't it interesting when he went up on the mountain to seek God, what did he find? All of his goodness. He said, I'll let my goodness pass before you. But what we start talking about tonight, you can't just expect the goodness. You've got to seek the goodness. Amen. And then we know that God's goodness passed before Moses. The Bible says that it came down off that mountain and it scared everybody. So they put a lampshade on his head. And then it said day by day, right? Hallelujah. It said, that's what happened. Read it. It's in the Bible. It said day by day. Hallelujah. That light got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. But you go and you read this in the King James and it says the light on you will not become dimmer, but it's from glory to glory to glory. Or you could say it this way, it's brighter to brighter to brighter. Or you could say it this way, it's from goodness to goodness to goodness. Because that's what his glory is. So when he said, I'm going to transfigure you from glory to glory, he's saying, I'm going to take you from good to better, to better, to better, to better. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone say, I'm seeking God. And as you seek God, he begins to do all these things for you. You are equipped right now to seek after God. There's nothing standing in your way. You have the same ability that I have to seek after God. You have the same ability to understand God that I have. Amen? You just have to seek Him. And as you seek Him, what is that doing? That is fighting the good fight of faith. You know, I went back on YouTube and I was watching the sermons because I'm in the youth on Wednesday night, so I don't get to hear what Pastor Mark or Pastor Ron is preaching. So I went back and I was watching the sermons that Pastor Ron... Listen to me, y'all. We get a rich word here at this church. Woo, glory to God. We got some good pastors. Amen. And I was watching, I was listening to her as she was talking about faith. And I love when she said, you know, God out of nothing made something. Amen. Hallelujah. But she was talking about, you know, a few weeks back, she had Scott come up and share his testimony and play the guitar. And Scott shared even a little bit, right? And he was talking about, listen, you never know when adversity is going to hit you. You never know when that challenge is going to come. So you've got to be ready. You know what Scott was saying? Seek God. Because when you seek God, you'll be ready for every single challenge. You'll be, because just like Pastor said Sunday night, there are many adversaries. The devil, remember, we just read it, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Listen, he's coming, he don't like you. And I'm okay with that. Because he can't do anything to me anyways. Just like he can't do anything to you, right? But he can stop the blessing if he stops you from seeking. And that's what lots of times, that's what God would, or that's what the devil would always do. He would just try to bully God's people to backing down. Remember over there in 2 Chronicles when the armies came against the army of the Lord and they were all freaking out and they sought God and God said, send out the worship team. That's what I'm going to do. If anything ever goes south in Alabama, I'm calling Ted. God said to send out the worship team. Amen. I'm going to stay here at home. Y'all go get them. Praise Jesus. Amen. But guess what? They got the answer from seeking God. Amen. You're equipped for this fight and God will add to your equipment as you seek him. Anything that you're missing, anything that you're lacking, he'll impart it by the Holy Spirit. He'll give you exactly what you need to do exactly what you're supposed to do. Everyone say, I seek the Lord.
I seek the Lord.
Amen. So we've got to seek God first if we're going to fight this fight of faith. The next thing we do, we got to pick up our weapons. I preached a service once in the youth group. I said, don't run at the devil naked. You got to put some clothes on. Amen. God's given you some equipment. Hallelujah. You ought not run at the challenges at school without any armor on. You ought not run at the challenges that come from being married without any clothes on. You ought not run at some of the challenges that come from working a secular job without your armor on. Amen. We've been given some weapons, and the only way we lose is if we don't use those weapons. Glory to God. So we've got to go 2 Corinthians 10:4. Hallelujah. It says the weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the world. Instead, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. God has given you weapons. I need the ushers, if you will. The first weapon we have, and there's many weapons that God's given you. We're only looking at a few tonight. But the first weapon he's given you is the weapon of prophecy. And so on Sunday night, our pastor spoke a prophetic word. And so we're going to hand this out to every single person that is in the room tonight. And I'll take one too, please. At the top of it, it says Jubilee. And then Pastor Mark, aren't you grateful for a pastor that flows in and out of the prophet's gift? Hallelujah. He gave a prophetic utterance by God on Sunday night for our church and for every single one of us. And so this is just part of it. This is part of the prophecy that talks about Jubilee. But if you go all the way to the bottom, there's a link. It says cwol.org/Jubilee. So if you want the entire prophecy, you can go to that website. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to take this prophecy and put it somewhere where you'll see it every day. What does the Bible say? It says, make the vision plain so he who reads it may run with it. Y'all know the expression, out of sight, out of mind. Amen. We need to be thinking about this all year long. Amen. We don't want to get to the end of 2018 and say, what did Pastor Mark by the Spirit of God say at the beginning of this year that I was supposed to experience? No, I'm going to experience Jubilee this year. Amen. And one way I'm going to experience it is I'm going to war a good warfare with the prophecy that has been spoken over me. I'm going to fight a good fight with the Word of God. Guess what? This is the Word of God. Amen. It's not the written word. This is a logos that was given, a spoken word that was given to us by God himself so we could fight with it. So we could war a good warfare about it. Listen, God gave this to your shepherd so you could fight. Hallelujah. Over in 1 Timothy 1:8, he said, Timothy, my son, hear my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battle. That scripture so ministers to me because it tells me a couple things. Number one, he's given me equipment to fight with. And then number two, it says that you may fight well in the Lord's battle. So what does that mean? Anything I face this year is not my battle. It's God's battle. But I have a responsibility to shift it off of me onto him, right? Isn't that what he said? Cast all of your cares onto the Lord, amen, because he cares for you. What did he say? Take a garment of praise, amen, and put it on you instead and shake off the old. Listen, we've got to get it off of us and then receive from him because he said, my burden is light, my yoke is easy, amen. So there's going to be stuff that's going to come at you in 2018. It's not yours to carry. It's the Lord's battle, and this prophecy will help you get it off of you and onto the Lord. I don't know where this bill came from. Guess what? Jubilee. I don't know how we're going to do that this month. Guess what? Jubilee. And you for a good warfare with this prophecy, and when things start attacking your mind and things start attacking you physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, you go to the Word of God and you war a good warfare. My pastor said, by the presence of God and the Spirit of God, that I would see Jubilee. And you read this and you rehearse it to the devil. And you rehearse it to the devil. I love this scripture, Isaiah 43:25 out of the study Bible, 25 through 26 out of the study Bible. It said, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. I love that. And I will not remember your sins. Right, here we go. Put me in remembrance. Now, why was God telling him to put him in remembrance? Because God forgets things? No, we forget things. So if you remind God of his promises towards you, what you're really doing, see, God's smarter than we are. Amen. He knows he's not going to forget. But if he says, put me in remembrance of what I said. When you put God in remembrance of what he said, what are you really doing? You're putting yourself in remembrance of what God said. You're reminding your mind what God has spoken to you. You are declaring the word of the Lord every single time you say it. Amen. One translation says this, instead of put me in remembrance of this, he said, remind me of my promises to thee. Remind me of my promises to thee. Well, guess what? This is a promise that's been given to you by God. So put this somewhere where you're going to see it every day, whether it's in your Bible. One place I know I'll see it every single day is in my fridge. It's just true. Hallelujah. Don't put it on your steering wheel. You don't want to read it while you're driving. Amen. But put it somewhere where you're going to see it every single day. Maybe some of us, I shouldn't put it in my Bible because lots of times I read on my phone. Amen. So put it somewhere where you are going to see it every single day. So you can put God in remembrance of this all the while putting yourself in remembrance of it. Amen. That's part of your weaponry. A prophet given to you by your pastor. Amen. Or a prophecy given to you by your pastor. The next weapon you have is your armor. Glory to God. And we don't have time to read it, so just make a note of it and go read it when you get home. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. It talks about how the whole armor has been given to you. The whole armor of God has been given to you. The breastplate of righteousness. The feet. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Amen. The helmet of salvation, the belt of truth. What is that? That holds all the other pieces on. Amen. We need to have our armor on so that we are, and then it says the shield above all, the shield of faith. Why? So you can quench down the fiery darts of the devil. Listen to me. The devil's not going to leave you alone this year. I know that's super encouraging, but it's just the truth. Hallelujah. But you've got something better. You've got something bigger. You've got something stronger than those fiery darts he's going to shoot at you, and it's the shield of faith. Amen. Amen. You take that shield of faith, and when he's launching them suckers, you just sit in the heavens and you laugh while you're holding that bad boy out front of you. Amen. Take the shield of faith and you hold it up. So weapon two is your armor. Weapon number three is the power of praise and prayer. Now, when I was praying, the Lord told me this about you. He said, there's some things you'll face this year you'll have to pray your way through, and some things you'll face this year you'll have to praise your way through. Amen. And sometimes the two of them work together. So lots of times I'll start in prayer, and by the time I'm done, I'm praising. Amen. But you got to know, because this is what we do as believers lots of times. We just, and it's okay because it's what the Word says. It says, be anxious about nothing, but all things pray. Amen. Where is that? That's over in Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your, or that's not the right one. I forget where it is. Philippians 4, 9, maybe it is. Be anxious about nothing, but pray about all things. Amen. And so lots of times I'll start in prayer, but I'll finish in praise. Amen. But the mistake we make as believers sometimes, we think we got to pray about everything. Well, maybe there's some things you've already prayed about. So what do you start doing? You start praising. Amen. You dance that blessing in. Glory to God. I said you dance that blessing in. Amen. Sometimes you got to pray it in. Sometimes you got to dance it in. But you do whatever you got to do to get it in. Amen. Ephesians 6, 18, it says this. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Brother Hagin used to say it this way. I never pray longer than 5 minutes. And I never go 5 minutes without praying. What's he saying? I pray on all occasions. Basically, I'm praying all the time. Amen. It's part of your weaponry. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. Philippians 4, 4 through 7 out of the NIV. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves to rejoice. You know, when we wake up sometimes in the morning, and anybody ever woke up and you don't feel like a Christian? Right? You just don't feel like a super good dude. Well, what do you do on those mornings? This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We got to tell our soul sometimes who's in charge. You remember when the Bible says that Jesus was so vexed? Where was he vexed? He wasn't vexed in his spirit. He was vexed in his soul, his mind, his will, and his emotions. He was vexed in his body. And the Bible says he was so greatly vexed that he bled great drops of blood. So what did he do? He went and prayed. And I love this about Jesus. It so encourages me. He didn't just go once. He didn't just go twice, but he went three times and he prayed and spent time with the Lord so he could get his soul in check. Right? Because he was, you know, we don't talk about this lots of times, but Jesus, I mean, why did he say, "Father, let this cup pass before me"? Well, because in his soul, he didn't want to do it. In his mind, his spirit was always willing, just like your spirit is always willing. That's what the scriptures say. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jesus made a decision. If I'm going to follow my spirit, man, I've got to go get my soul under control. And so what did he do? He went and prayed his way through it. He went and prayed his way through the cross. He went and prayed his way through 3 days of hell. He prayed his way through it, right? Until the Bible says, with the joy set before him, he endured the cross, right? He saw what was coming. He asked God, if there's any other way, can we do a fundraiser? What can we do? A bake sale? What can we do? And God said, no, this is the way. And then on the third time, he said, not my will be done, but your will be done. Listen to me. Sometimes you're going to have to pray your way through it. Sometimes you're going to have to praise your way through it. We talked about that story over there in 2 Chronicles where the praise and worship team got out front, and you know they had some vigorous praise about them. I'd be shouting. Hallelujah. You'd think my guitar was the biggest sword you ever saw in your life. Glory to God. If the only thing standing between me and death is a guitar, man, I'm playing that sucker. Hallelujah. Right? You got to praise your way through it, and you got to pray your way through it. It's some weaponry that you've been given. You have been, listen to me, nothing missing, nothing lacking. You have been equipped for 2018 to see all the promises that God has promised, to see Jubilee. Let me pray with you real quick. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person in this room. I ask that the Lord would just continue to be with them. You said in Hebrews 13:5 that you never leave us and never forsake us. Father God, we determine in our hearts to seek you this year like we've never sought you before. We'll go like Moses went up on that mountain. We will go with purpose to seek you. And we go with an expectation. Every time we sit down to read the word, we have an expectation to communicate with God, our Father. We come to church on purpose to seek you. We come to face to face on purpose to seek you. Let us put that in our hearts right now and make up our minds that we'll seek you like we've never sought you before. Father God, I thank you that you remind every single person in this room about the equipment you've given them. You've given them clothes to run into battle. Father God, you've given us the ability to come before your throne room and pray and communicate with you, to worship you and to bless you. I thank you that they pray this year like they've never prayed before. They praise this year like they've never prayed before. And as we do so, we see Jubilee. We choose tonight to fight a good warfare with this prophecy that's been spoken over us. And we say we will see it in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. Keep your brothers and sisters that are over in Chile lifted up in prayer. Keep your pastors lifted up in prayer. We'll see every single one of you Sunday morning for service. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.